Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's time for another edition of Colts NeuroChat, Thursday edition of the program. I'm Jeremy, and I'm joined, per usual, by Robbie. And, oh boy, do we have a game to talk about today, Robbie.
Yeah, today, and we decided not to do the pod last night to let it sink in a little bit. I think gives us time to get a little bit of perspective, and I've come to the conclusion after a bit of time to think that it was indeed awful.
Oh, dire.
Just like we thought. So that little bit of time to reflect on what we watched, and yes, I've come to the conclusion that it was terrible. So let's discuss it a bit, I guess.
Pathetic, even. Atletico at home to Bayern Munich. Sorry, Levante. Easy to confuse the two.
You've been reading my tweets, have you?
Yes, guilty as charged.
They actually did make them for a little bit, make them look like Bayern Munich.
They did.
Levante
de sure. Munich.
Yeah.
Some combination of the two, man. Because how else can you explain Atletico losing again, this time at home, to 20th place Levante, 1-0, one shot on target the entire game. I mean, this has got to be a new low. This has to be rock bottom for Atletico this season.
Yeah, I think it was, and I think the report that you wrote about last night as well, with Cadenasser, and it's starting to look pretty ugly, and it's going to get worse. And I think that not only losing 1-0, losing 1-0 is whatever, but they went down, like, it wasn't like they conceded in the last minute and didn't have a chance to reply. They conceded in the 54th minute,
yep.
Brought a whole load of subs off the bench, and still didn't look like scoring. And then it turned into just a mess of players. One sector Herrera comes off the bench, stop trying to analyze this game from a tactical standpoint, because it's just pure mayhem. And I think, Marcus Llorente being moved around, and who else? Renan Lodi being brought on. It's just completely weird, and I don't really know what else to say about it on that front. Yeah,
a really bad day on and off the pitch. The report Robbie is referencing, I wrote about last night on Spanish radio, claiming that Atletico are sourcing Diego Simeone replacements for the end of the season. We'll talk about that a little later in the show and see if there's anything to it and what it means. Mateus Cunha also suffering an injury in the second half. The club announcing this morning, Thursday morning, he suffered a sprain to his right knee ligaments. He's likely going to be out for a couple months. How can this get worse? Can this possibly get worse? Cunha has been one of Atletico's best players this season, one of their brightest sparks, one of their most energetic and intense players, and he's going to be out for a couple months with an unfortunate knee injury from a collision with Levante's Oscar Duarte.
Yeah, it looked really nasty when I saw it, because I've torn my cruciate knee ligament before in the past, and I know that feeling, and I could see his screams, and it's like such a weird pain. It's like inside the I can feel your pain.
What is the pain like?
It's kind of like it's inside the knee, but see the problem. It's weird, because the way your knee bends, and most likely when you do your cruciate, your ACL, you're probably going to do damage to the meniscus as well. So that's where a lot of the pain comes from. But the actual knee ligament, it's kind of like if you ever got your funny bone hit, it's like inside the knee. It's like a weird, Well, you kind of know once it's once you do it. Yeah, I was like, oh my god, that my knee is just after like exploding. So and his knee bent in a kind of that similar way. You know, you know when you see guys bending their knee in that way when it kind of collapses in on itself. So that's why I thought it just didn't look good. And then he was on the bench with the ice, and I think they were like, "We're gonna have to bring you in here and get you looked after." And he was limping, and that's the thing. Like when you do your cruciate, there would have been, and I'm not saying he did do, we don't know, but there's so much swelling around it when you do damage it that you can walk and you're okay. But it's only after it that you can do proper tests and get a proper look at the cruciate knee ligament and see if there has been damage done to it. So yeah, just such a bad blow for Atletico. He is, like you said, Atletico are crying out for players who can who care.
Yeah, basically.
Who show that they actually want the ball and want to fight for it, and he's one of those players, and they've just lost him, and it's a massive blow for them, and they don't really have a replacement for him in terms of his energy and what he brings to the team. But I also think that, and we'll talk about this now, I'd say, I thought it was really unfair as to how they were trying to get the ball to him last night, in that the amount of times, I just rewatched the first half just before we got on the call here, and they were just launching long balls to him, and part of me thinks that was because that was part of the tactic, and that's how Simeone thought he could win the game. But it was also a kind of a last resort. It was like we're not going to play it through the middle, so we're just going to go long, and it's a severely limiting style or way of thinking. When that's how do you reduce the risk? Long ball it. Like it's football from the 1960s, like, you know. Mm-hmm. and they just kept kind of lumping long balls on top of him and going over his head, and just so hard for him to get into the game, and then as collateral damage that Correa didn't touch the ball and he couldn't build up a link with Reynaldo, and just a completely disjointed performance. And I think the base of it all was the tactics.
Yeah, the problem with going with just hoofing it and going long, playing Route 1 football, is I think the idea behind that for Simeone was that he's so scared of losing the ball in midfield and getting hit on the counter that you just bypass the midfield entirely. So push it forward to Correa and Cunha, okay, fine. But you're going to, the best plays are going to be linked through midfield. The best actions and created chances are going to be linked through midfield. This plan did not work, as evidenced by Atletico ringing up only a grand total of one shot on target, Robbie, in the entire 97 minutes, including second half stoppage time. Correa had the only shot on target, and it was at the very end of the game. So this plan did not work. Really nothing Cholo has tried has worked this season. We've talked about it a lot. The tactics have been puzzling. He's chopped and changed and tried to look for a whole bunch of solutions in a whole bunch of different ways possible, but nothing has stuck. And Atletico are sliding down the table. They're now 4 points off the final Champions League place. It's, let alone top, you know, put aside top four, can this team even get top six? Top seven at this rate?
Yeah, we're not talking about, they didn't play Villarreal or Athletic Club last night. They played Levante. Levante are awful. They've conceded 50 goals this season. 50 mm-hmm. goals. Over 2 goals a game. They've only scored 14. They had 11 points from 23 games. Awful. And not all, yeah, awful, and also kind of watery, like the kind of team who you can, if you impose yourself on them, you can get at them, and that's why I said that I feel like Atletico can kind of maybe put two or three past them here and kind of expel some of the ghosts of that have been haunting them. But and also Levante you ask someone who doesn't watch Spanish football and they will not be able to name one name from Levante,
right?
Honestly, maybe Morales.
Yeah, I was just going to say, maybe, and he was on the bench.
Yeah, he wasn't playing. Martin Cáceres playing centre back. Like, this is a Segunda Division team in Levante, and Atletico reigning champions, and at home in a massive game, and they couldn't even get themselves up for this. I just wonder how deep and how bad this, how deep the dysfunction is, and how bad it can get. Because if you can't get yourself up for a game like Levante and kind of put two or three past them, I really don't know. But also, just like, and this is the issue with the game last night. In that, people are saying, oh, the injuries and the players not playing well. The tactics were all wrong. You spoke there about, and you said it last night, about them not being they're not press resistant. The problem is, like, tactics 101. You try to build superiorities. You try to kind of get. Oh, we have three men in the middle of it. We have three men in the area of the field where the ball is. You have two. We pass it. We have superiority. Really simple. And Atletico can't do that because they played a 4-4-2. Levante played a 3-5-1. It was like a 3-5-2. Depending on, and they were kind of fluid, but they had five in the middle, and Atletico had four, and they pushed a man up, and so it was 4-on-4, and Atletico were forced to go long. And then any time that they went back, for example, there was an incident in the first half when they went back to Oblak, and if he had turned and played it out to the right hand side to, I think it was either Llorente or Rodrigo de Paul, with his left or even with his right, but no, he came back and went back into the congested area. Atletico, Levante had them pinned in, and Atletico ended up giving away a throw-in from a pass that just, and I was just looking at it going, they have no way of building from the back. They're just going to have to, and this is what I was saying about Cunha, they have to just go long. This is the only option. And this is what happened then. So it was 4-4-2, Cunha and Correa versus three at the back and a holding midfielder with Condogbia and Koke sitting. And so essentially, Atletico there was four Levante players versus two Atletico. And then what would happen is Condogbia or Koke would push up, leaving a hole in the middle, and just tiring themselves out, just running up and back, shuttling up and back, instead of maybe like pushing Thomas Lemar up there and playing, take Koke off, let Condogbia sit as the anchor, and then see the problem then was as okay, I know this is very difficult on a podcast, but just bear with me here because I'm writing an article about it as well. But then Atletico would go narrow and Levante would come out wide, and there was so much space. It was, and I was just watching it, and that's what we were talking about earlier, about making them look like Bayern Munich. They were so easy to play through, and even when they couldn't play through them in the centre, Atletico went real narrow, old school Atletico 4-4-2. And just the wings were wide open. And Thomas Lemar was looking around going, and there was a couple of times when Correa would press up on the centre back and the pass would go out to the full back or the wing back, and he'd look around him and there'd be nobody, and he was kind of just looking going,
who's pressing with me? Who's going to help me win the ball?
Yeah.
What options do I have?
I just ran 20 yards to close this guy down. And he's got the easiest option, and it's not just an easy option; it's an easy forward option. They're actually moving the ball forward. Man, the whole thing was wrong. Levante put that was a lesson. Simeone was given a lesson last night by Nishi, this Levante coach, and then, you know what? He went with three at the back eventually when there was like 10-15 minutes left, but it was kind of like. And this is what Simeone decided. We're going with 4-4-2, and no matter, and he was kind of like, I'm not changing. That's the way we're playing. And Levante came out, and it was clear from the start that that it wasn't working. The shape just didn't suit what it didn't work against what Levante were trying to do. And he wouldn't change it. And because he's been hurt so many times by this tree at the back, and he doesn't have the personnel, and he would have had to gotten it wrong. And man, I don't know like, and I can kind of understand his point in that, and like, we're going to play this way, but it wasn't working, and he got it wrong, and then he only changed it at the end, and even then it was like, look, it's too late at this stage. The match has kind of descended into this kind of mess of I don't know, but as far as I'm concerned, that's on Diego Simeone. Now, obviously, the players just can't seem to figure out what they're doing, and there's a serious lack of effort and a lack of understanding in that. But I genuinely think that comes from Simeone.
Yeah, I think it all emanates from the touchline. Because as we've said, Simeone has chopped and changed and tried several different tactics this season, starting with the 3-5-2, then moving to a 3-4-3, then a 4-4-2, and a 4-3-3, and the players are not chameleons. You know, they're not tactical chameleons. They have demonstrated that. Simeone ideally wants them to play one way, and the players that the club continues to purchase do not play this way. They are not capable of playing this way. Even though they demonstrated it for a brief time last year, it is looking more and more like that was an aberration, right? Based on how Atletico have looked the majority of the past three seasons, that one half season at the start of the 2020-2021 campaign, which ended with Atletico winning the league title, that looks very far away now. It looks like an aberration, an exception to the rule. Simeone has not been able to solve this numerical inferiority the entire season, and the team looked worse when they moved to a 4-3-3 after the hour mark to try to generate some reaction, but that reaction never came. Atletico ended up with one shot on target against La Liga's bottom side, who are almost certainly going down, at the Wanda Metropolitano. Really, that's where you can begin and end the analysis of the game, is that they had one shot on target against Levante, who have now not lost any of their past four with Atletico, and they will be glad to see them in Segunda, assuming that they do go down in 2-3 months' time. Let's talk about Levante's goal, because it was an instance where Atletico were again hit on the counter, again just destroyed in transition. Both Jose Jimenez and new signing Reinildo just wasted here. They were just destroyed on this quick counterattack, with Jorge de Frutos feeding the final pass to Gonzalo Melero. I don't think Jose Jimenez should have started this game, Robbie. He's been out with COVID. He hadn't trained in a week, but he was inserted into the matchday squad Wednesday morning, like an hour before kickoff, and he made a couple massive mistakes in this game, and Atletico were lucky not to lose by more.
What else can we say? I guess slumps in form and things like that are can be explained away by just whatever. But we've been saying this all season. It has never once. I challenge you to go back and listen to one time when we came out of a game thinking there was a real purpose to that. There might have been kind of a couple of glimpses where we were maybe thinking this might be, but it hasn't been good all season. And the problem is here, and I can understand people have opinions. This is all. I mean, so this is my opinion. I'm not suggesting it's right or anything. And I'm biased towards certain things, but like this unwillingness to point blame at Simeone, I find it kind of putting your head in the sand. Because I'd also say that Diego Simeone has had an incredible run. 10 years at the very top, he has turned Atletico into also-rans into a top team in European football, a top destination for world-class players, going from buying players for 5 and 10 million to buying players for 126 million euro. He has catapulted them into a stratosphere that they've never been in before, at a time when it's increasingly hard to get into that upper echelon of teams, right? So he's won two La Ligas, got to two Champions League finals, won a number of other trophies and come close, and he's had a legendary spell at the club. it's absolute, there's no shame whatsoever in the fact that he has run out of ideas here at a club that has a ceiling. He has found a ceiling, and now he's kind of, and what we're watching is the problems that manifest themselves when you reach that ceiling and you're beating your head against the wall and you people start getting upset. And this is what happens. And I don't think there's any shame in that. There's no shame in admitting defeat in like 10 years, 11 into his 11th year. Is nothing to sneeze at. It's an incredible run. And at times when managers are being sacked quicker than ever before, I think that Simeone, admitting that Simeone is both a legend and that he's also beginning to hurt his own legacy here, are two perfectly fine opinions. Like, I think that while we praised him for everything he did and he deserved that praise, right now it's a case of, well, Cholo, this is still your team and you have to take the criticism that comes with that. I just think that everything starts with him and it ends with him, essentially. And I know there's been injuries and I know there's been poor form and there's been mistakes, but I do think that it starts and ends with the manager.
It's looking very much like we're nearing the end of the line for Cholo, doesn't it? Because as you've said, that there's a lack of ideas. There's a lack of problem solving. They're just creating more problems. And it's going to hurt the bottom line. Atletico have entered the Champions League via league position the past 9 years. That streak, it's not certain to come to an end, but if I'm a betting man, I'm not betting on Atletico to get into the Champions League next year. And I'm seriously doubting whether they can finish top six. Now, there doesn't seem to be a limit right now to this free fall. Jamie Easton, who works at La Liga TV, was at the Metropolitano last night, and he tweeted that he can't explain what's going on. Now, here's the tweet right here. Honestly, I have no explanation as to what is happening to Atletico, and the feeling here among fans, players, managers, staff is that nobody has an answer, and that's a huge problem. So when that happens, you have a couple things you can do as a club, right? You can either move out a dozen players in one summer, or you can change the coach. And I wonder which one Atletico are going to do. And I don't especially want Simeone to leave, but I think it is getting to the point where it is necessary for the next chapter of Atletico's history to be written. This season has been a disaster. I don't think anyone really expected this entering the season, for not only for Atletico's league title defense to be over in November, but the team to struggle this much with injuries and struggle this much with its identity and just even backing into the top six. Like, that looks like it's going to be a genuine mountain to climb getting in to the top six. And as you've said, Robbie, there really is no shame. It's been more than a decade in charge. Most managers at the very top level now don't last at the same club for more than 3-4 years. Like, Zinedine Zidane was so burned out by managing Madrid, he had to leave twice.
Yeah, no, and that's and Simeone, anyone with half a brain understands what Diego Simeone has done for this club and for Atletico Madrid, and I think that history is going to be very, very kind to him, and that's, there's no problem. But I think right now, like, I think that Simeone is a not a specialist coach in that, but I do think he needs to maybe go away and have a think about because football has changed a lot too in how it's played, and obviously he part of the reason why they won the league last year was because he adopted that three at the back formation, and he has shown himself to be open to new ideas, but he just doesn't really believe in it, and he doesn't know how to and when to change in and out of those systems when necessary. And I guess like when we look now at for example, like, I mean, La Liga has been going through a little bit of a decline now over the last number of years, and we watch Real Madrid and PSG and like we just, I mean, it was the biggest 1-0 beating I've ever seen in my life. and Real Madrid just had no answers. We're about to watch Barcelona versus Napoli tonight in the Europa League, and Barcelona had their own issues. And I think Atletico won the league last year by default, essentially. Like, I mean, I think that it was Barcelona that lost it for themselves, and Real Madrid weren't at the races and are going through their own regeneration. But I think that Atletico, there has been a rotting is such a negative word, but like a declining in standards and identity over the last 18 months to 2 years. And you could probably even go back further than that, like, because they haven't really been competitive in the Champions League in a number of years now either. So you can kind of see that that's been kind of creeping in, that decline. And I think now that we're just witnessing the end of Cholismo at Atletico.
Physically, Atletico cannot match up with the top teams anymore. Like, they can't even match up with most of La Liga physically anymore. And that is a huge issue. Like, it's one thing to be second best against teams like Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, etc. It's another thing to get bossed on your home pitch by Levante. You know, that's just intolerable and should be unacceptable. And there needs to, I don't know, there needs to be a reckoning about that. But this entire season needs to be reassessed. And it needs to be viewed through the lens of where Atletico go next. But yeah, as I was watching Inter and Liverpool yesterday, and I saw two teams there, particularly the eventual winners Liverpool, who play a much more modern style and are much more physically fit and are more innovative tactically than Atletico. And what part of what made Atletico such a fascinating, some call it boring, whatever, such a fascinating and intriguing watch in 2014, 15, 16, 17, was this, you knew who they were, and they knew who they were. They were staunchly dedicated and committed to their identity. It was a throwback, absolutely. It wasn't really overly complicated, but they just did what they did so well and believed in it so fiercely and firmly. They had character. They had intensity. This Atletico team doesn't have that. They don't have that spark. They don't have that battling spirit. It's a lack of character, really, in so many of these games this season. Like, how do you not respond, like, at home to Levante when you have more than half an hour to come back after conceding the opening goal? Like, there was no response. And like, I'm not going to speculate about what's going on in the dressing room versus what's not, but it's very, very strange that the coach's position is possibly on the line, and there wasn't really any fight back. And I think those two things kind of correspond. Like, Atletico are incapable of stepping it up another notch, even when the situation demands that they do. The teams in the past that under Simeone that really embodied this Cholismo spirit and this Cholismo philosophy didn't necessarily have that problem. Of course, La Liga teams were better positioned to compete for the biggest honors back then than they are now.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier there about character, and I think that what we saw or what we're seeing is that when you sign a player, certain players, and you move into that kind of territory where you're attracting world class players, a part of the deal. When you start signing those kind of players, is that the manager is going to have to give up a little bit of autonomy, and players that I'm speaking about are kind of like Luis Suarez, Joe Felix, maybe. In that, you're as a part of the bargain, or as a part of the deal, you're getting goals galore, but you're also getting a massive personality that you have to deal with, and that the manager has to accept. He's kind of given up a little bit of autonomy. So, just as an example, on a kind of a larger scale, is PSG. Any manager going in there has to appreciate that I have to get my message across, but I also have to do it within the confines or within the with the understanding that I'm dealing with the biggest personalities in world football. These personalities reach beyond football into the larger cultural moment, and I think that Atletico, by signing a Luis Suarez, Joao Felix, Simeone has started to lose a little bit of autonomy over the squad from what he had maybe 8 years ago. So, like we saw last night, Luis Suarez on the sideline, kind of grumpy and nodding his head and upset, and people will say, "Oh, Simeone doesn't care about that," but even if he doesn't, he's aware of it, and his players are aware of it, and that has an effect. It has a knock-on effect. It starts to kind of so in a way, you kind of have to work hard at both implementing your tactics, but also making sure that Suarez is happy. And Suarez isn't happy unless he's playing 90 minutes every week. And I think that Suarez is just an example. The same can be said for Joao Felix and some of the other bigger names that they've signed. And I think that Simeone hasn't been able to navigate those waters as well as he might have liked. And he's kind of had to do it on the fly. Not on the fly, but in order to keep up, he's had to keep adapting bit and giving up a bit of himself every single transfer window in order to keep up with the pace of Atletico's rise, which was all down to Simeone in the first place.
Right.
But slowly but surely, it morphs into a team that you don't even recognize anymore yourself. And I think Simeone hasn't been given the chance to take a step back. Or he'll need a year or two to kind of, or maybe he'll jump straight into a job in Italy or the Premier League, and he'll do well and all that. But I think that this Atletico Madrid, he's not even sure what it is and what it is that they need anymore. And I think that so slowly but surely it evolves into something that lacks, and what we're seeing on the field again is that kind of lack of character and that lack of cohesion, and I think Simeone hasn't been able to, which is no kind of a dig at him either. It's a really difficult thing to do, especially when there's no clear-cut answer, and we've seen it just kind of fall apart now this season. And Suarez's form has fallen off, which meant he had to be dropped, which meant he wasn't happy, and then it's just around and around we go.
The questions have been asked about the evolution into Cholismo 2.0, or the questions have been asked, the points have been raised, the debate's been held about whether Simeone could change his spots. This is dating back to 2016, 2017. And really, it's felt like every time those questions have been asked, Atletico have responded, right? They've entered a good period of form. They've kind of pushed those doubts aside and achieved the objectives that were realistic, that were reasonable. But now it doesn't seem like there's really a solution to this. It seems like this is one magic trick Cholo Simeone is not going to be able to pull off. It's looking very unlikely, as the team's performances have really been similar the entire season. We talked earlier in the show about the numerical inferiority. Like, I'm watching yesterday, and as I've watched many games this season, there is so much space between Atleti's midfield and its forward line. There is no coordinated team press. The club has brought in players who can... Like, listen, I'm not saying that a new manager can turn them into Manchester City. Like, very different context there, economically as well as on the field. But the club has brought in players that are at their best playing in styles that do not necessarily correspond and correlate with the old school Cholismo way of understanding the game. And that's not necessarily... it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, Simeone can still teach these players quite a bit. And when they have been interviewed, these players have admitted that we've learned how to defend, we've learned how to fight for one another, we've learned how to play with a certain attitude, etc. But that it's not reflecting on the pitch anymore, and that means there needs to be a change. Now, how drastic that change is going to be, Robbie, I guess we'll find out over the summer. On Spanish radio last night, there was the report from Manu Carreño that Atletico were looking for replacements. Mundo Deportivo reported this morning that Atletico are firmly committed to Simeone and are not contemplating a replacement. That's not surprising. They're not actively going to tell MD that they're looking for a new coach. So I guess that shouldn't be too surprising. But I don't know. Like, how bad can this get? Could it get so bad that Cholo is dismissed or there's an agreement before the end of the season for him to leave? Like, how bad does this get?
I guess that's the question, isn't it? And it's kind of, maybe not the word, it's scary to think, but it's kind of cringy to think, like, how bad can this get? Because every time we expect a response from them, they just it's just not happening. So, I mean, I think, okay, so as bad as it's going to get is that, like, if he stays on and they continue to perform poorly, they miss out, they finish, we'll just say this is the worst case scenario is, they finish seventh. And okay, out of Europe, rebuild, get to the summer and just kind of start a new project with a new manager and just hope that he can have a similar impact that Simeone can keep them in the top four and get them back into the Champions League so that they can reinvest, whatever. But all that does essentially is push, it just ruins Simeone's legacy. That's all we're kind of looking at right now, because they're not going to win anything. I would say top four is, well, firstly, top four is a bronze medal at best anyway. So when you're just fighting for top four, you've already lost.
Yeah.
So they're not going to win the league. They're not going to win the Champions League. And so essentially now all you're trying to do is just try to hang on and let Simeone go out with some kind of dignity, I think. That could happen where they finish sixth or they finish seventh, based on how bad they've been and how the injuries have hurt them and how bad they are defensively and how incapable they are of kind of just putting together a semi-coherent defensive and attacking game. So, I think that's as bad as it's going to get. Now, if Atletico Madrid are sitting there thinking, we have to make top four, then you've got a massive decision on your hands in that, do we think, obviously Simeone is a dead man walking if it gets to that, but do we think that he is the best, do they have a better option than him for the short term? And that's the decision that they're going to have to make.
Yeah.
And I would say, just based off like kind of a, but then you can't just think for the next 3 months. You have to think, how do we, is Simeone on board with this? Because Simeone, if they went to Simeone and said, listen, Diego, this is it, and he said, yep. Yeah. And they said, they almost actively kind of worked towards an agreement that this was the end of it. It would leave it on better terms, leave Simeone and Atletico on better terms. But if they go behind his back and start to sort replacements and stuff starts coming out, I mean, Simeone is going to leave Atletico out the back door. And that's not a very nice thing for the best manager that's ever managed a team either. So it's a really, really sensitive situation for Atletico Madrid and how they want to be perceived and who they are as a club and how they want to treat their best ever manager, because in 10 years or 5 or 8 or 10 years we're going to look back on this and we're either going to say they handled it well and they handled it with some class, or we're going to say complete disgrace how they manage and how they handled Diego Simeone at the end of his reign when he needed a hand and when he needed to their support, they didn't give it to him. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's all kind of speculation at this point.
Yeah,
but it's a sensitive situation for them.
And a figure like Cholo Simeone deserves to leave the club whenever it happens out the front door. You could argue he could have left last summer with his reputation 100% intact. having just won the league, but his contract was renewed to 2024. And yeah, now you've got a real situation on your hands. Atletico travel to Osasuna this weekend, and we'll preview this game before we sign off. El Sadar is a tough place to go. Osasuna are a tough team, good defensively, with forwards who can really trouble Atletico center backs, guys who are very good in the air. And this could be another tricky game for Atletico. Most of them are these days, given how the team performs most in most encounters. But Osasuna are tough, and El Sadar is a tough place to go. Antoine Griezmann expected back, but beyond how do you see this one going? Because that's kind of a boilerplate question. What are going to be the keys if Atletico are going to enter the Man United game next week in good form, with good feelings?
Yeah, well, Griezmann is a massive part of that. I mean, they're obviously missing Cunha, and I'd imagine Suarez and Griezmann will start, and maybe Simeone might just kind of go all out against Osasuna. Obviously, Osasuna bet them at the Wanda, and Osasuna are a really difficult team to play against. So, I'm not sure. Like, I think one of the other things that's kind of grating at the moment, and I guess I don't really know what to expect, and I don't know what I expect from the players to say, but there's an awful lot of talk going on at the moment as well. Like, every game is, oh, we just have to get better, and we just have to all this kind of stuff after games, and we need to knuckle down and that. And you're like, okay, well, we're talking the talk, but. And that's the other thing. It's the old Atletico Madrid did very little talking, but it was all just action, and they showed us who they were rather than kind of telling us. And this version of Atletico is more talk than action. They know that there's and they just can't see solutions, or aren't able to. So yeah, like, this is the kind of game where you'd expect them to go in and just kind of throw caution to the wind, but I've lost hope and lost faith that that's going to happen. But and the other thing is just the kind of, it's getting kind of nasty too. I don't know if you saw Renan Lodi last night kind of shushing the fans, telling them to be quiet, and with all due respect to Renan Lodi, he's right in what he's saying, but I'm not entirely sure that he's the man that should be.
they were whistling Jose Jimenez.
Yeah, well, Jimenez is one of the guys who I'm talking about kind of, I don't know, he's kind of upset and he's disappointed, and but he where's his head at? Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand that he just recovered from COVID, but he is that header last night that led Jorge de Frutos in was, what was he doing?
Abysmal.
If you're teaching a 7-year-old child how to header the ball, that's how you'd imagine they'd header the ball. He closed his eyes and just kind of hit it with the crown of his head. Like, what are you doing?
Kind of hope for the best.
Yeah, just such a bizarre player. And I know he's been in and out of the team with injuries, but just this whole, none of this, this team just doesn't make sense to me at the moment. And that goes for everyone. Even Rodrigo De Paul, just awful last night. And I don't know what he's trying to do or what his role is. Marcos Llorente is about 20% of the player that he was when he was scoring 11 goals and getting the bucket load of assists last season. What's going on with him? None of this makes sense to me. So I guess the key to the game, or what I'll be watching, is can Atletico start to make sense again? but I'm not hopeful of that happening.
Yeah, with Llorente and DePaul are very interesting in that. Yeah, I think you've hit on a good point there. We can only explain it kind of halfway. Like, part of the issue is that, yeah, the structure of the squad, it's improperly balanced. Llorente's had multiple injuries this year, and it's been a lost season for him. But yeah, it only goes so far to explaining. Like, DePaul's been asked to play a position that isn't really his. Llorente has been playing right back or right wing back for 90% of the season, based on a variety of circumstances. But that alone doesn't explain everything. And Atletico running out of time to recover those players' form. And the game at El Sadar, Atletico have not kept a clean sheet away from home all season. This is another chance to do so. We'll get a good look at Manu Sanchez, who's on loan, playing left back for Osasuna, who could be in the first team next year. Osasuna are coming off a 3-0 win against your Rayo, Robbie, at Vallecas. They're a good team. They're well-coached. They're well-structured. They've got some very talented players. John Moncoyola in midfield is the recipient of a 10-year contract last summer, so he's a guy they're going to be looking to build around. Sergio Herrera is a really good goalkeeper. Ante Budimir is a good forward. Going to be a tough game, and I don't really like Atletico's chances. I don't.
And it could be like even a draw is a really bad result for Atletico, so they have to go out and win it. And I don't really have too much faith that they can figure that one out.
Yeah, here's what the race for the top four places look like. Betis are third on 43 points, Barca fourth on 39, Atletico level with Barca on 39 points. Behind on goal difference, and Barca have a game in hand. Then La Real on 38, Villarreal on 36, Athletic on 34. Atletico still have to go to San Mamés later this season. They've already, and they end the season with a game at Anoeta against Real Sociedad. Oi.
Yeah, a rough one.
Oof. Well, I would say it can't really get worse, but I would doubt myself even saying that, because as Atletico have shown this season, when there's no plan, there's no identity, and there's just chaos rampant on and off the pitch, there really is no end in sight to these crazy results. And they'll look to steady the ship on Saturday, entering the Champions League tie against Man United on Wednesday. We will be here to talk about it no matter what happens. Robbie, I want to thank you for joining me on this edition of the podcast.
No problem, man. We'll chat at the weekend for sure.
Indeed. We will be back on the weekend to discuss Osasuna and Atletico. That is a Saturday evening kickoff from Pamplona. And we will have plenty of coverage on Into the Calderon on social media and on our Patreon page at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. Make sure you subscribe to the Atletico Madrid Podcast Network on Spotify. You can listen to all episodes of Colchonero Chat and the Partido a Partido podcast on Spotify. Until next time, adios.